Hello, church. My name is Kurt Thiel. I'm one of the pastors here, and I am joined on stage by Pastor Jack Hamilton and Pastor George Beardsley.
Yeah. Glad to be here.
And we are so glad to be here with you today. We're going to spend some time in God's Word, because if you know anything about Tom and Cheryl, a weekend service is always going to be in the Word of God, right?
That's right.
So we're going to jump into that today. If you're joining us for the first time, or maybe haven't been around for a while, we're in a series called What Matters Most, and it flows out of John's Gospel. And today we're in John chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, either book Bible or digital Bible, or maybe you just have it all memorized, that's great, but turn there now, because that's where we're going to be. And we get to John chapter 15. Jesus is still in the upper room with his disciples. He's in that area of life with them, and Judas is already gone. Judas has left the room, and he is in the process of betraying Jesus at that moment. And in just a few hours after that, Jesus would be arrested and beaten and eventually crucified. And so you put yourself in that moment, and there is a tenseness in that room. There is drama that night. And in the midst of that time, just before the cross, Jesus pulls his closest disciples together and says, I want you to know what matters most. What are the things that really matter that you need to remember? Over the last few weeks, we have already been challenged that one of the things we have to remember most is to be loving. 2 weeks ago, we talked about we need to stand with confidence. And last week, Pastor Tom walked us through that reminder to act in obedience. Those are what matters most. And today we're going to talk about another quality, and that is that we have to remain connected to Jesus Christ. If you look at your Bibles, I'm going to read the passage, and then we'll jump into it today. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11 says this. Jesus is speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And he finishes his thoughts. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Absolutely love that passage of scripture. And George, when you hear those words, what comes to your mind? What are your thoughts?
I'm incredibly grateful how Jesus Christ would take really what are simple, common things and give us these incredible spiritual truths that we can hang on to. You know, the whole concept of the vine and the branches is an incredible concept. And if you guys don't know Pastor Tom, you know, he often has told us from the pulpit that if he was not a pastor, he would be a landscaper. He loves landscaping. In fact, if you've ever seen his place, he works so hard. He and Cheryl have a wonderful home, and they work so hard at kind of pushing the desert back and creating beauty. And anyone who does that understands that plants have a specific purpose. When you plant flowers, they're there to be beautiful and enjoy. If you plant a shade tree, you have an understanding that you need shade. But when you plant a vine, you have this understanding that you should get fruit. In fact, your hope was that that vine would bear much fruit. And when you look at this, it's when the Spirit generates fruit, it goes on replacing more and more fruit in our lives. You know, the quality, the quantity of the fruit, it might differ. But the reality, the presence of that fruit in the believer's life is going to be there.
That's true, George. And, you know, there are different kinds of spiritual fruit mentioned in the scriptures. And one is when we bear fruit when we lead others to Christ. In fact, in your notes, you'll see a verse there out of Romans 1:13 that says, I went to work among you and see spiritual fruit. So Paul was going to Rome, was anticipating that spiritual fruit. But I think the best description of fruit is really in Galatians chapter 5. Let me read that for you. It's on the slide. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And this is the kind of Christian character that really glorifies our Father, our God, and makes Christ real to others. You know, over my 37 and a half years of ministry, serving beside Tom and Cheryl, I've not only seen those spiritual qualities in their lives, but I've grown in my own understanding of their importance and how our teaching of Oikos has made Christ real to others. And as Thomas said, the fruit really is for the benefit of someone else. And you and I produce fruit so others can grow stronger from it. And when we produce fruit, it serves as benefits to those in our oikos, that group of 8 to 15 people that God has put in our lives. And so our oikos really feeds off our fruitfulness. And we are promised that if we remain, fruit will result. And our focus should be on remaining rather than production. God wants us to remain in Him. There's an old-fashioned word that used to be in different translations, and the word maybe you might remember was the word abide. Abide in Christ, remain in Christ, and that will have production.
Yeah, and we're here today on this stage celebrating Tom and Cheryl because for 38 plus years they have borne fruit, spiritual fruit, and because they're part of our oikos, we have benefited from their life. We have fed off of their faithfulness. And that is such a huge blessing that a pastor and a wife would provide that for us as a church. And they've modeled those qualities that mattered most in just practical ways. But as great as those two people are, and we think they're pretty great, they could do nothing of value if they are not connected to Jesus Christ. All of their efforts would be meaningless unless they remain in Him. And that is really the secret of anyone's spiritual life, yours as well. If you want to accomplish things for God, you have to remain in Him. And this is a big deal. If you look at that passage we read earlier, you'll see in 11 verses, Jesus uses the word remain 11 times. I think by definition, that means that's very, 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 very important. That is what matters most. And so we want to help you think that through. What does that mean to remain, though? Like, what does that actually look like? And we have in your notes just a quick definition, because it has three different qualities. It's connecting to Jesus, that joining with Him. It's depending on Jesus, and then it's continuing with Jesus so that His life can be lived out in you, and you can then produce spiritual fruit.
I think those actions are so important. And over the 36 years that I've had the privilege of serving with Pastor Tom, there are going to be so many phrases that I will hear his voice in my head over and over and over again. And one of those things that I hear him say, Dodgers, 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 that one, and remain, remain, remain. That has just been a big constant message that we would remain. And we understand how this works, right? The vine has to be connected to the branch has to be connected to the vine. They cannot be separated. And we have to understand that what theologians have said, it's that union with Christ. When you give your life to Christ, you are joined to Him and He is joined to you. Look again at verse 4. Remain in me as I also remain in you. There has to be a connection to Christ, and that bond determines fruitfulness. I mean, it's a real simple, you know, connection. If we are not connected to Christ, we are not bearing fruit.
And I like our connection with Christ, you know, just to be reminded, George, it's mutual, it's reciprocal, but our dependence on Jesus isn't that way. The branch is dependent on the vine, but the vine is not dependent on the branch. So without the living, active, thriving vine, the branch is useless and lifeless. Let me draw your attention back to that verse 5, and that's probably been one of our most cherished verses in America or in the Christian church, is that verse in verse 5 of John 15. Let me read it to you again. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And then I really, if you have notes or write that down, I just underline different parts of verses in my Bible, and this is one that's underlined. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And honestly, I was kidding these guys when we were practicing a little bit of our walkthrough on Thursday. If I said this, if you remember nothing else this morning, remember that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And it's a good reminder to all of us. We're completely dependent upon Jesus for everything that matters. And nothing of any eternal significance is possible without depending on the vine. And it's like I said before, is remaining, not production. Remaining.
And that whole concept of continuing in Christ, remaining, and Pastor Jack used that word abiding. That's an interesting word, because at the beginning of John's gospel, as Jesus was collecting his disciples, a couple of the guys had something later in verse 1. They had something interesting that they said. They said to Jesus, where are you staying? You know, when they said staying, it's the same exact word translated remaining. Really, what these disciples wanted to know is, Jesus, where do you call home? You know, if we are going to continue in Christ, it's the same idea we should have, is that we call home where Jesus is. We make home where Jesus is. It's the place you stay. It's the place you're refreshed. That is so incredibly important. Staying connected to Jesus means keeping the words of Jesus close in our hearts and minds, so they're renewing and restoring us each and every day.
Yeah, and that process of remaining changes all of us Christ followers. And when we look at the rest of John 15, we can see some very specific evidences that you actually remain in Jesus. Look at verse 2 again. It says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So people who remain in Christ, they accept God's pruning. And so that you can bear more fruit. That's the product of that pruning. And, you know, so how does our Father prune us? I think sometimes he just uses the Word of God. The Word of God convicts us of our sin. It cleanses us, as we're told in the Word. Sometimes he even uses, I think, discipline. If we had time, we could look at Hebrews chapter 12, where it has 11 verses there, where it talks about, like a father disciplines his son, God disciplines us. And so sometimes God has to take us to the woodshed to do that pruning work. And at the times it hurts, but when the spiritual crop is produced, we can see what our loving Father was doing, sometimes with hindsight. There have been times in Tom and Cheryl's life where God has pruned them, and they've accepted that work as a result and became even more impactful to their worlds. And that the same is true for everyone who follows Christ. God challenges us through his word, and he disciplines us. And so we actually become more of what he made us to be.
Yeah. Another evidence of being that remaining is that God is going to answer your prayers. In verse 7, you'll see here that passage says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now you read that, if maybe from the first glance you're like, that sounds like a sweet gig. Anything I want and God's going to give it to me. I agree. That's funny. But it is funny because it doesn't make sense, because you read the rest of the passage, you recognize that God's giving, his giving to us is dependent upon our remaining in him. When we remain in Christ, he actually changes the desires of our heart to match his own. Over my 25 years here with Tom and Cheryl, I have heard them say multiple times, mostly Tom, but I'm assuming Cheryl, you're on board, say multiple times that God, he would not be offended if God moved them to Hawaii. Anyone else remember him saying that in a service? Can I get an amen? Okay, good. And that is, okay, that makes total sense. But God, in working with them, their personal preferences have always placed themselves under the will of God. And that's meant that they've been here for 38 years because they chose God's will, not their own, because God changed their heart. so that they would want to be here with us. So thank you, Tom and Cheryl, for choosing Poipu over Phelan, where you live. Thanks for picking Haida as a church over Honolulu. Now, you look around, maybe that wouldn't be you, but that's what happens when you submit to God's will. And when you pray in agreement with him, you're going to find, just like they have found, that God is going to change your heart to reflect his will. And when that happens, your prayer requests are going to get answered because you are going to be praying exactly what God wants for you.
And also, in your notes, continuing, people who remain in Christ grow in their love for Christ and grow in their love for others. Continuing in our passage, it says, "Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love." Pastor Tom and Cheryl, you have shown us the love of Christ, and I want to thank you for abiding in Christ, being connected to the vine, so that your love of Jesus Christ would be in turn poured out to us. And then people who remain in Christ also experience great joy. Continuing in our passage, it says, "I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be," catch this, "complete." Can you imagine complete joy? Even during the crazy season the last couple of years at HDC or churches around the nation have been, that we could still experience joy, even in significant transition. You see, the joy that Jesus is talking about is not mere happiness or maybe just an easy life. This joy is the indescribable confidence and delight in knowing that you're right with God because of his son, Jesus Christ, intentionally walking in his love. It's the joy of knowing that God is using you to bring the gospel to those people in the front row of your life. Yeah.
You know, folks, Kurt is our teaching czar kind of here. And when we practice this, he was very careful to have me and George stay on script. But it just popped in my mind. Forgive me, brother. Not a lot of forgiveness, but just a little. But I was thinking back, Tom's been here 38 years. Can you imagine how naive that church was to hire this 29-year-old guy? What were they thinking anyway, Tom? What were they thinking? I don't know. What can we say?
Hence why we stay on script.
Yes.
I just want to know, are you going to forgive him or not, Pastor Kurt?
But I, you know, when we think of Tom and his preaching, if you've been with us for a while, Tom is the master of acronyms. He loves acronyms, and he's really good at it. He comes up with some pretty sweet stuff. But we have one to end with, and it's Tom. And so as we close this brief time in the Word, we couldn't really finish without an acronym. And Tom loves those things. And as we wrap up, we're going to use the word Tom. And it takes, for me, I get the letter T, it takes tenacity and perseverance to remain in Christ. And we thank him, we thank you, Tom, for working hard for 38 years on our behalf. And you challenge us to make every effort in our relationships with God and our oikos. And I will say this, and I pointed it right at both of you, Tom and Cheryl, you guys have done well. Thank you.
The O in Tom stands for obedience, and it takes obedience to remain connected in Christ. Pastor Tom and Cheryl, well, mostly Tom, we know you're not perfect. We get that. Cheryl, if you could hear an amen right now, that'd be all right. We know you're not perfect. But what HDC needed was a pastor and his wife that would not just talk the talk, but would walk the walk. And we want to thank you both for doing that so well.
Yeah. Yeah, you can clap. And the M, there's a lot of M words. We chose a good one, meekness. And Tom, meekness, Cheryl, it's absolutely necessary to stay solid with Christ. And you guys have shown the humility of Christ in your lives. That is enduring. It's endearing to your staff. It's endearing to the people in the auditorium. And people that you've impacted, even the churches across the nation, the people that have been impacted by your humility. And we're grateful for that because through your meekness, you've allowed others to become more and more by God's grace. Church, we've talked a lot about the ministry of those two people. And the Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. And we have done that and we will continue to do that because they deserve that. But as we kind of transition, I wanted you to remind you that a vital spiritual life that produces fruit, fruit that changes the world, ultimately that fruit is what brings glory to God, not to these two people. The purpose of bearing fruit is to make God's name and reputation great. And so when people come to place their faith in Christ through the ministry of the church and the ministry of Tom and Cheryl, God gets the glory. When you and I walk in obedience to Jesus Christ, God gets the glory. And when a church changes a desert for the good of the kingdom, God gets the glory. And so we rightly celebrate these two, but we're actually giving our gratitude to God, the God who called you to our church, the God who has led you, empowered you, pruned you, used you to make an indelible imprint on our kingdom. So props to you two. 38 years of amazing faithfulness of pointing others to Jesus Christ. Now to the church, I want to let you know we're not done. They're not done either, by the way, but we're not done. The three of us and our whole team would just say, stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to Jesus Christ. Depend on him for your life. Just continue with him. Because the things that Tom and Cheryl accomplished over their 38 years of ministry might not be the same things you'll accomplish. But if you remain in Christ, you're going to do things beyond your imagination of how God could use you in ways that would just surprise you. I know that would be their desire, that everyone remains in Christ. Would you join me as I pray? Father God, we are grateful for who you are, that you are the vine, and because of your kindness of reaching out to us, that we could be joined to you, connected to the source of life. We are so overwhelmed that you would even include us in your family, but we're grateful. We're grateful for Tom and Cheryl being examples and role models to us for so many years of what it looks like to remain and to remain faithful. God, we honor them today and we give you glory for your plan of bringing them to this place for us to share life with them. In everything, God, we give you the praise and the adoration for your wise, sovereign plan. And we pray it all in the amazing name of Jesus Christ. Amen.